This, my friends, is the Swish Edition.
Hey, everybody.
Hi.
It's Dylan Scott live from Hollywood, California.
Loving it.
Yeah, you having fun?
Having a great time. First time out here.
You like it?
I love it.
You think you could live here?
I don't think I'd live here.
No?
No.
Well, you haven't seen everything yet. There's still some pretty stuff to see.
All right. Well, maybe that changed my mind then.
All right. We've seen a lot of Hollywood. A lot of crazies, too.
It's not what I expected when I arrived.
That's for sure. All right. Hey, everybody. This is another edition of the Swish Edition. It's episode 162 for December 8th, I believe. Is that right? Yeah. And we're not with Steve this week.
No, he's home.
We left him in D.C. We flew out to the Gold Coast. Is that what they call it?
California. I don't know what they call it. I can't remember.
We're in La La Land, and we've seen more celebrities in the last couple days than I've ever seen in my entire life.
Yeah, it's been pretty insane. And, you know, what we saw, we saw two premieres at the Chinese theater.
Right.
What's it called? Grumman's Theater?
Grumman's Chinese Theater.
Grumman's Chinese Theater.
Yeah.
So that was pretty crazy on Monday and Tuesday.
Well, tell them what's coming up in the show.
Coming up, we got the entire hour-long broadcast of the Black Sheep Swish Edition mashup show, where guests with Black Sheep co-hosts Andrew and Chad for their live Tuesday night broadcast recorded from the famed KTLA studios right here in Hollywood. And after that, we'll bring you the conversation with Scott's old high school friend, Rob Nagel. He's an LA-based stage, television, film, and commercial actor and director. And we recorded a chat with him in his beautiful West Hollywood home overlooking all of LA. Rob is featured in the new movie, New Year's Eve, which opens tomorrow.
That's right. And speaking of New Year's Eve, that's one of the premieres that we saw.
That was the big one. And there's got to be like 20 big stars in that movie. So they were all out on Monday night. So it was pretty spectacular.
I've never seen anything like that before. Yeah, they had the red carpet right down the middle of Hollywood Boulevard in front of the Chinese Theater, and the limos were coming, and people were going bananas. Access Hollywood was there, and Extra.
Actually, speaking of that, I was surprised there were not as many limos. They were pretty much just all sedans.
Yeah, I think the stars are...
I noticed that Monday night as well as our time at the press event with Trevor.
That's right. The whole reason we're here in LA is we came out for the Trevor Live event, and Dale and I got a spot on the press line, the very last spot.
Second to last.
I'm sorry, I keep saying that. But we're going to tell you more about what Trevor is all about and why we're here and all the celebrities we saw as part of this mashup with Black Sheep. Another reason we're here is because they invited us to be on their show, which was broadcast live. On Tuesday night, it would have been midnight for our friends back on the East Coast. It was 9 p.m. out here. It was kind of fun. Someone's vacuum cleaning right near our mini studio here in California.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it was a lot different for us because it was that live show. So I felt like we had to watch what we said, but I don't think we really needed to.
Well, I don't think Chad and Andrew are quite as dirty piggies as we are. We can be piggy. They also don't do their drinks. They don't do their show with drinks.
Yeah. I was looking for the bar and there was none.
Yeah, no bar. That was a little weird. But I think you'll guys get a kick out of the show. We're going to play the entire show here in a minute. But I want to say something else we did. On Tuesday, Dale and I went to a taping of The Tonight Show.
Yes. My favorite late night television show.
That was a lot of fun.
And you couldn't ask for a better show. It was Katherine Heigl, J.B. Smoove from Curb Your Enthusiasm, and that other show that I can't think of the name of that we watched the other night.
Yeah, and he's in that new movie, I Bought a Zoo.
With Mark Wahlberg.
No.
Yes, not Mark Wahlberg.
No, the porn identity guy.
Matt Damon.
That's it.
Yeah. That's the one.
That was fun though, and I was amazed by the. I thought the studio was so frigging impressive. Plus, that was such a well-oiled machine to see how they put on that show.
Yeah, and it's and being there, it totally looks 100% different than it did on TV because that place is so tiny.
Yeah.
And it looks just huge on TV.
I also thought it was so cool that Jay Leno came out ahead of time in like jeans and just to chat with the audience and say, hey, thanks for coming.
He was more than happy to take pictures, do a couple autographs, and that was really cool. I like that.
That was very cool. And I loved it. And they actually do it live to tape, so it takes exactly an hour to do the show.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. And then musical guest Teo Cruz.
And just hangover fun. That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
And what was really fun is that Dale and I, after we did the broadcast with Black Sheep, is we came back to our hotel room and watched the entire show again.
We did. And we saw and we noticed that some things were
were cut. Yeah, so we got to see that. Yeah. And well, we first watched it because I just knew that we were going to be on television because the camera, when I was watching the opening on the screen, they panned over us. And then when we watched it last night, they showed the audience and they cut it right when they got to us. So we were not on TV.
But I think there, I think I heard when there was a Dan Quayle joke, and I think you can hear me say, hey, or something.
Yeah, I think that was you. You said, hey.
Hey now. Anyway, that was fun. And we're not done with tapings. We're going to Jimmy Kimmel.
Jimmy Kimmel, which we were surprised is just down the street.
Very excited. Yeah, not far away. And we're, Russell Brand and Jane Fonda are the guests on the show.
And I don't remember the music. Well, there is no musical guest. That's outside. We couldn't get tickets for. Yeah.
That's going to be cool. Also, we went to Universal Studios and did the VIP tour. That was fun.
That, I'm speechless. That was a lot of fun. Saw the set of Parenthood. Actually, they allowed us to walk onto the set.
All through it.
All through the house, through the little backyard. That was a sight to see. That was cool.
Quite something to see how they put those shows together. And what, I mean, all the walls move so they can move cameras around. The fireplaces actually work.
It's impressive. I mean, detail was in that house. Yeah. And I think the fun part, or the most interesting part for me, is we saw Wisteria Lane. And I'm not a Desperate Housewives fan, but it's really cool to
see all the houses.
See, because, I mean, I've watched enough episodes, and it's pretty cool to actually just ride down that street and all those houses are there. But you liked when we turned the corner, which was the airplane crash.
That was the highlight of my day. Yeah. Honestly, I love airplanes forever. And this is a 747 that Steven Spielberg crashed there on top of all these houses for War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise. Cool. And we got to get out of the car and walk all through the wreckage.
Yeah, and what's cool is not only is the airplane there, but they also had, if you remember in the movie where he's coming out of the house holding his daughter after the plane crashed, and that little piece of section's back there. So he walked from there and then walked through the crash site. It was really cool.
And they have this fake smoke coming up from the...
Yeah, they really did it up to make it look more real. And it's right around the corner from the Bates Motel, which is kind of cool.
Yeah. Oh, and they actually had that guy out there, the creepy, that was pulling a body out of the
motel. It was cheesy, but it was fun at the same time.
It was fun. A lot of that day was cheesy, but and there's a lot of stuff they need to update at Universal, but it's definitely worth it. I would definitely put that on anyone's list if they're coming to LA.
I suspect that if you come to LA and you do Universal, you don't go to Universal for the theme park. You have to do the back lot.
Yeah.
It's because it's nothing that you're ever going to see anywhere else.
I highly recommend the VIP tour. There's nothing like it. You get really personalized service. There's only 8 people on our tour. And you get a guide with you that spends a whole day with you. You get breakfast and lunch included, too.
Gourmet dinner or lunch. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, and front of the line pass to all rides.
I scored it right to the front of the line. Although it's pretty, I guess this is off season, so we really didn't have a line problem anyway. But it was still a lot of fun. He was really cool, so that was helpful.
Well, let's go right into it because this is going to take 60 minutes. It's the live broadcast that we did on Tuesday night. They tape it and put it out as their podcast episode for the week. We're grabbing it because it is a mashup of our two shows this week. We're going to play it for you right after this message from our sponsor from AdamMail.com. Today's show is brought to you in part by AdamMail.com.
Are you looking for something to rock your world? A hot new DVD or maybe an adventurous new toy? How about a brand new lube? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist.
That's right, Dale. Our listeners can go to AdamMail.com right now, and they'll get 50% off just about any item on the site.
We should say it again, Steve, 50% off, but that's not all. When they choose one item at 50% off, they'll also receive 3 free all-mail DVDs. And to top it off, Adam Mail will throw in free shipping.
Free shipping? Nice. So check out AdamMail.com right now for this special Swish Edition offer.
Get 50% off one item when you type Swish as the offer code at checkout.
When you add the offer code Swish, you'll get 3 hot all-mail DVDs and free shipping on your entire order. Just use the offer code Swish at AdamMail.com.
That's AdamMail.com.
And Swish is SWISH.
We need to start doing video commercials.
This is the all-new Global Voice Broadcasting, a radio network focusing on all the things you're passionate about. Stories about music, entertainment, life, and more. We walk it, we play it, we live it, and we talk about it on Global Voice Broadcasting.
Black Sheep with your hosts, Andrew and Chad, recorded live on Global Voice Broadcasting.
What's up, bitches?
My mic is a little high.
Your mic's high?
Yeah, a little bit.
I'm high. No, I'm just kidding.
Like, hi, Chad.
Like, hey, Andrew.
Hi, Lucy.
Hey, guys.
Lucy, how has your week been?
Oh, it's been spectacular. Thank you. Yeah, Little Lady and I splurged and bought a space heater, so that's been super
fun. Yeah. Love that.
I'm pretty stoked about it, yeah.
Andrew.
Chad.
I'm very excited.
About?
Our special mashup edition.
Me too!
Woo!
Yay, Dale and Scott in the house.
These two hot, really hot guys.
Oh, and we're finally here.
Apparently one has a great butt.
Oh, well,
and he's a ginger.
Maybe
too.
Maybe two.
Have I told you I have a ginger thing?
God,
here
we go.
On that.
The Swish Edition. Alternative talk, news, gossip, reviews, and gay hilarity for everyone. Yeah, even you.
Even you.
Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you very much for having us. This is great.
How's it going?
It's going well.
And please really introduce good. Yourselves.
I'm Scott.
Yeah, and I'm Dale.
Hi, Dale.
All the way from
Washington, D.C.
Yee-hoo!
And thanks for this wonderful Southern California weather.
No, it's great.
We thought you'd like that. There's, you know, penguins walking around the street.
It's so cold.
Polar bears in taxis.
That's really crazy.
Yeah.
And I lived through last year's, like, New York winter, and I'm freezing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Wow. Uh-oh. Andrew's phone is going off.
Fail.
Is that Grindr?
Oh, so unprofessional. Sorry, everybody. Yikes.
So for the Black Sheep flock, as we call them, tell them a little bit about Swish Edition.
Well, Swish Edition is a show that started in October 2010. Went national. We're now global gays, to tell you the truth.
Yay!
Downloaded in 100 countries around the world.
Andrew's a professional gay.
Yeah?
What? How dare you? RandyBlue.com. Just kidding. Just kidding. Just kidding.
I like that. But we do a lot of pop culture stuff. We have guests on. Lisa Lampanelli has been on our show about 3 times.
She's like our super fan.
Yeah, it's just so great. Margaret Cho has been on a bunch of times.
Did you say she's super fat?
Fan.
Super fan.
Fan.
Think,
that is a super rude thing to say. That's right. Your show.
And we know she listens, though.
That's right. She might be listening right now. We have
Dear Lisa, that was Chad.
Right.
He can be reached at.
I am also the queen of mean.
Right. She's the lovable queen of mean. We love her. She's been great to the show. Brent Everett, the porn star, is on a lot. Sherry Vine is one of our good friends. You guys know Sherry Vine up in New York?
Can we go back to Brent
for a second? Yes. We can do that.
Okay, so one of the things that Chad and I are looking forward to doing is having our first porn star on the air. I've got a lot of questions for that person. what is that like to have that sort of like friendship with someone like that? Because he's not just a porn star. I would call him one of the porn stars.
Yeah. Well, he is right now. And let me tell you what happened. Up until about...
Not that I know anything about porn.
Of course not. Of course not. About 6 weeks ago, we, officially moved our studio out of my basement, where it'd been for 2 years since Dale and I first started, doing shows. And, so when he came over, we were still in the basement. And so he came knocking at the front door, and we didn't even recognize him.
Pizza boy.
Yeah.
And by basement, you mean S&M room?
Yeah, exactly. We moved the sling to one side before we pulled the microphones out. Yeah, that's how it goes. But yeah, so he came to the house, and we had a couple extra friends that day who just wanted to watch us do our show. I don't know why. But he
because Dale was in a Speedo that
right.
day. Right. That's right.
Well, no, obviously.
Well, I don't know if you guys listen to the Swish Edition regularly, but we do the show naked in D.C.
Perfect.
Which is why we usually
like
keep,
you do.
We usually keep our studio 85 degrees. So it's comfortable. And that day we had to put the tarp down.
And you're doing
floor.
Bikram yoga all at the same time.
That's right. That's right. But it actually turned out really well. He was super nice. He brought his really hot husband with him. They're married. And
what?
He is his manager. That's right. And they brought another guy. This Aiden Marks.
Marks.
who's a up-and-coming porn star.
And they did a scene for you right there
on
the
radio. They did. Yeah. We demanded
during our
that.
Yoga section, they did their downward dog.
I love how Lee's just trying to keep up here.
Well, this is my bacon face. Right.
And as part of the whole deal, we also host an event at Town Dance Club, which is a dance boutique, our big dance place in D.C., and he put on a show that night, and the Swish Edition was a co-sponsor of the event, so it was a lot of fun.
We had put on a show, he says.
He
what does that mean?
Wow.
Well, tell him what happened.
Well, yeah, I mean, he was just there. It was kind of like just talent, just basically just keep people to go. But there's a stage on the second floor, and what do they have? It's this white box?
The scrim. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. Basically, it's just a box with a light behind him, and it's just white cloth, and completely got naked.
Right, and someone was on their knees.
Like you do.
Yeah. Well, was it his husband?
No, it wasn't. It was.
No, it was a little Twinkie kid, a little skinny guy. Yeah, and he was just doing all kinds of stuff.
But right so there, it was right Dale.
Yeah.
But then the scrim, when the scrim comes down and he does his little dance on stage, he's wearing
a little underwear. Yeah,
because you can't be naked at town. Well, uh-huh. Not publicly.
Right.
So Trevor Lyle,
Andrew looks really uncomfortable right now.
It's just, you know.
Have you ever like encountered porn stars here in LA, Andrew?
Yes.
And?
Like, have I met porn stars?
Yeah.
Yes.
And what was your interaction?
Conversation,
like,
like, oh, that's what you do. I going back a couple of years, I once had like two or three dates with someone before I found out what he did for a living.
And was that like a buzzkill?
Total deal breaker.
Yeah,
well, yeah. It's one thing to know someone is in the adult film business,
right,
and know, yeah, and know that going into it. It's another thing to be surprised by that after you've kissed them. And I just, you know, I mean, I don't want to stereotype and project all my fears onto the fact that if people are very promiscuous, whether it's filmed or not, might be unsafe or have been exposed to certain diseases or STDs. It just would be on my mind the entire time I was be having a sexual encounter with someone in the adult entertainment business. Hmm. It would be distracting. Yeah.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. But you know, I want to just say we've also had Cloris Leachman on our show, so we balance it out. it's really balanced.
Who's an adult film star in and of herself?
Yeah. <That's right>. So from awkward porn star encounters to Trevor Lyle. So the reason why you guys came out to L.A. one of them was to attend this really special event that happened on Sunday.
It was, yeah.
Yeah.
We were guests of ING, who were one of the presenting sponsors of the event. And so we were at their table, and that's why we came out. We got airfare and a hotel and the tickets to the event. So we're like, hey, let's also get press credentials and do the red carpet.
Awesome.
So,
yeah.
We did that for the show, and I'm excited about that.
Well, Chad's been involved with the organization for a little while. Chad, you want to tell us a little bit about the event?
Sure. Well, so there's this organization called the Trevor Project, and they're the leading national organization providing suicide prevention and crisis intervention for LGBTQ youth. They've been around for a little while now, and it came out of a short film. I'm going to get the date wrong, but I believe it was 96 or 97 that won the Academy Award for Best Short Film that year. And it was about a young boy who was just trying to be himself and was bullied in school and made an attempt on his life. And out of that that film and winning the award, HBO bought the rights to air it on their network, and they asked for a 1-800 number to put at the end of the movie when they aired it. And Ellen DeGeneres also sort of like hosted the video. And when they went to look for a number to put at the end, there was no organization that was servicing the LGBTQ youth at that time, and that's how the Trevor Project was formed. So their main service is a 1-800 number. They have a bunch of other services, but this past Sunday was their big gala here in Los Angeles, which was incredibly star-studded. I mean, Lady Gaga, the cast of Glee, Modern Family. I mean, we're going to talk about all of it. But, you know, it's such a great organization, and I've been volunteering. I go into classrooms and teach middle school kids and high school kids about suicide prevention and sort of the power of their words, which is sort of directly and indirectly related to bullying and how they treat other people. That's one of the services Trevor Project offers. You know, it was just a great night about community building this past Sunday.
You should be sick more often. Your voice is incredibly sexy.
Oh, wow.
Good morning, Andrew.
So you guys, Chad, you attended.
Mm-hmm.
We can get to what I did later. You guys were actually on the carpet.
Andrew performed.
Yep. Stop it.
I love your number. It was awesome.
Right.
Behind a scrim naked.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's the scrum thing? Yeah. So you guys had an experience on the carpet, right?
Experience it was.
Yeah, well, and our first time, too.
Yeah. I think we learned a lot that day. I think we'd if we were to do that again, we definitely know what we could do better.
Well, we need to beg a little harder.
We need to be more aggressive.
We need to be more aggressive, and we also need to get better placement. We were last.
Second to last.
Last on the carpet, so.
Well, okay, so just a point on that. Usually on carpets, radio goes toward the end.
Yeah.
Just so you know.
Yeah.
So asking for a better placement on the carpet would only mean going as the lead radio placement.
Right.
Yeah.
Just as an FYI.
Well, the main problem was that the cutoff place where the celebrities were turned to go into the building was about 5 feet before they got to us. So getting them to actually come down to us, we had to like kind of scream. There was only one person that I had to have. And I got him, and I was very excited, and that was Josh Duhamel. And being, you know, inches from Josh's face, it was so hard for me not to reach out and kiss him. But, you know, Fergie was right there, so I had to resist. And Dale was also holding the back of my blazer to keep me from
safety. That's
do you? I mean, we have some recordings of some of the people you interviewed. Do you want
to? We do. Would you like to hear it? It's super professional. Let me tell you that first off. And we didn't get any audio from Josh because he didn't really have much to say, so I didn't include.
He's just
it
a pretty face.
Exactly.
I don't know why he was wearing a shirt. It was so ridiculous. But this clip starts with David McFarlane, Bill Harrison, and Warren Cohn, who are the executive directors and event chairs for this event, and they just tell you a little bit about the event. Of course, you've already done that, but. This is just a minute, I think, of them. Then it goes into something that I think is really funny. Jennifer Coolidge, who we all know
love
is Stifler's mom.
Right.
And also all the great Christopher Guest movies.
And Legally Blonde.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Want a hot dog.
She's been in everything. And she's so funny. And can I say this? I mean, I don't know if this is cool. We think she was drunk.
Yeah.
And you'll tell a little bit from listening to her. That goes right into Ricky Lake, and then at the very end, Fergie says Merry Christmas to us. So I think you guys will get a kick out of this.
Awesome.
Lee, go for it.
Break it down. Get swishy with it. Swish Edition.
Excellent.
So we obviously know that Trevor Project does great work for kids all over the country, but what does a night like this mean for the project as a whole?
Tonight is a really special moment. I think it's filled with all types of emotions. But for me, it's a very heartfelt moment that we can come together and celebrate the important work that we do and amplify that voice all across this country to youth that the Trevor Project is there whenever they need us.
That's awesome. And what does it take to put on an event like this? It's obviously pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'd say it takes a village, truly. It's the culmination of hundreds of people's efforts, thousands of man hours, all of whom volunteer their time, including the performers and the talent, to put on a show that reminds us about what's important about the Trevor Project, which is its mission to save lives.
Amazing. And what about the process of finding your hero for this year and your 2020 winners? How do you figure who that's going to be?
We have a committee actually that does that. I mean, so we look at people that we have a set of criteria that we look at and say, does this person meet that? I think we have a rich list of choices, and obviously Gaga fit the bill.
Gaga and Google.
And yeah. Google, yeah.
Works very well. Well, good luck tonight. We're
Thank
really
you.
Looking Thank forward to seeing the show.
Thanks
Thank
a lot.
You. Thank you.
Looking forward to tonight.
You know what? I think of all the events, I think I've been to the Trevor Project the most. Because it was the first event I started going to when I first came to Hollywood, and I don't know, they just keep topping themselves with amazing performers. The auction stuff is better than any of the other, you know, any of the other events, I think. The best silent auction stuff, the best live auction stuff. And, of course, it goes to an amazing cause. And this event always makes a lot of money because they someone works their ass off all year to make this thing really happen. And then, you know, there's some really big surprises tonight. And I'm sure you know about them, right?
No, I want you to tell me. That's why I was...
Well, there's a star that's going to take her clothes off tonight.
Would that be you?
I can't... What?
No, go on.
Did you hear
please.
About that? Well, I don't know. That's what I heard. I heard she's taking it all off for some money tonight. And what else? And of course, as you know, Gaga, right? You all know that she's here. And you know about the other surprise?
No.
I thought you guys knew all this stuff.
No, that's why I had to talk to you.
This is the event to go to this year. And every year, don't you think?
Yes, I do. Hey, Ricky, congratulations on coming back to TV.
Thanks. Thank you. It's going
to
be good. I really am excited.
You think you'd cover issues like what Trevor's trying to do?
Oh, my God. Absolutely. This is something I deal with in my real lives with my children, and I have a 14-year-old. We just talked about it the other day. I saw something on the news about a little girl that took her own life, and, you know, we talked about bullying, and if you ever see that happening, please, I want you to be the leader that stands up to that, because, you know, trying to get him to process what it's like to be in that little girl's shoes, suffering. So, yes, it's something that will be talked about on my show, no doubt.
Really looking forward to it. Thank you
so much. Happy holidays from the Trevor Live Show. We're so happy to be here tonight. And happy holidays to everyone.
Beautiful. Have a great night.
Swish Edition.
So I think something really important to add to that, just so that everyone listening will know, is that the person who was honored with the Hero Award on Sunday night was the individual was Lady Gaga, and the company was Google for both of their efforts in the LGBTQ community.
And cool. Fergie was orange.
Fergie was her usual, actually.
It was distracting.
Yeah.
It was distracting. The poor thing. She looked like a pumpkin.
Well, you were up close and personal with her.
I was. I was.
Would you like to tell us what you did Sunday night?
I got tanned just by like hugging her. Can I see that list?
Yeah, sure.
This will sort of help me recap. So yeah, so I was in the green room and it was really fun. I didn't know who Barrett Foa was. Did you guys know who Barrett is?
The tech on NCIS.
Yeah.
Is that who it is?
Yeah.
Well, he danced and performed.
He was amazing. Mm-hmm. He opened the show.
He did the first number.
Someone backstage said he was on. he was a new guy on. He was going to be some new like villain on Glee.
No. That is inaccurate. The villain on Glee is someone else.
Some new guy.
Yes. Barrett also was in Avenue Q. Oh,
okay. Well, he was incredibly nice. I'm going to be the boring guy that says good things about people behind their back. Diana Argon gets the award, I think, for best looking. Amber Heard is stunning beyond comparison, but for me...
Which one was Diana?
Diana. She's the cheerleader, the blonde cheerleader on Glee.
Oh, yes.
Who had the baby?
Amber Heard always looks flawless, but Diana Sunday night, to me, was just beautiful. I loved the hair.
From where I was sitting, her hair looked like a mile high.
I loved the hair.
It was up and back, yeah. But she was also so nice, and she was nice to everybody that was coming up to her. She was taking pictures with them, and she gave me a nice big smile, and yeah, she couldn't have been cooler.
I will say, spending the longest time chatting to each other were Darren Criss, Amy Adams, and Zoe Saldana. They were all sort of cozy for a while, which is kind of cute because these are all people that you don't really see spending much time socially with each other. So part of the fun of the green room is seeing all these people that are just being themselves. Well, I mean, they're probably not being themselves, but they're in a space where there's not a camera on them. Right. So right. To see how they interact with each other is kind of fascinating. Who talks to who approaches who knows who. There's plenty of people that you're like, wait, you guys know each other? They're like, hey, girl, I haven't seen you since like blah, 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 which is really fun. The best part that I will tell you is the Gaga arrival moment,
mm-hmm.
because she had to come. She wasn't there for the whole show, as we all know. And she came through a certain entrance of the green room that was like made just for her for that moment. And there were probably about 20 or so people in the green room at this point. About 10 people entered the space and formed like a human like shield on either side, making an aisle directly through the green room.
Wow.
And had their arms outstretched like so. And
like you would for the president.
And everyone got silent because everyone knew this was coming, because myself and someone else back there had to like warn people this was about to happen to kind of get them to the wings. Then those people came in. And there happened to be sort of a quieter moment in the show. I don't know what was happening, the auction. Something was happening that was a little bit quiet because there was a live feed back there. And she walks in. She's wearing these giant platform
shoes. They had to
shoes.
Have been like a foot and a half tall.
They were insane.
So she has to be like helped while she's walking in these. So she basically has her hand on like each hand on each person, like at two people's heads, as if she's like processing in on like a human sleigh. And she has to walk slowly because she doesn't want to trip and whatever. So she's balancing on two people's heads while like processing through. And it probably took her a good 20 seconds to get from like 20 feet away to the door. And everyone was just absolutely silent. And she just looked straight ahead, like didn't really make much eye contact with anyone, and got through the door, and the door, like the little the flap thing closed. Two volunteers shrieked at the top of their lungs that they had just made eye contact with Lady Gaga and like, passed out in the corner. And everyone else goes back to like mumble, 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 mumble. It was the strangest like religious type situation moment you've ever seen, because it just got so quiet and it was so awkward for a minute. Because she was just walking through like, so, hi, everybody. Just kind of walking.
And was she out the door the minute she left the stage?
She didn't come back through the green room. So I don't know what the situation was after she accepted. I remember she had wanted to spend some more time with the family because one of her handlers had made that request. She spent some time sitting at the table. So she didn't come in and go right on stage.
Yeah.
She came through and was taken to her seat. And then she spent some time at the table and then went up to the stage to receive. So where she went after that, I don't know. But it was definitely an interesting moment. But it's also fun to see. I mean, you're seeing people like Puck from Glee talking to Zac Efron like over a cocktail. Like it's just this really fun random mix of people. And the beautiful thing about Trevor is that so many people care about the issues related to bullying, and it's affected so many people, whether they've seen a video that's made them cry, or they have a manager that's gay, or a publicist that's gay, or gay friends, or are gay themselves. It really does affect everyone. And besides just being in sort of the political and social zeitgeist at the moment, it's also something that people can really remember, too, because everyone has had some kind of life experience where you've questioned your validity as a human being, or you questioned your purpose.
I think one of the really interesting points that someone made, one of the presenters made, and I don't remember who said this, it could have been the David McFarlane, the executive director, but he said, bullying is not a rite of passage. And I thought that was a really poignant, simple yet poignant statement. He's right. Bullying is not a rite of passage. No one should be bullied. It's such a demeaning thing that happens and I think it's not just one person's responsibility. It's everyone's responsibility to speak up and say something and help fix the situation.
I love that, because you know we're not huge fans of the It Gets Better campaign. We think it should be better now. I think that's great. I like that.
Have you guys seen the Jonah Mowry videos? Do you know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. Jonah Mowry was a seventh grader going on eighth grade who made a video at the end of this past summer that only just now went viral. And he's a very young looking kid who's holding up note cards to the video camera. Have you not
it's
seen
very,
this?
Very, very poignant.
I've seen it.
We'll post it on our Facebook page.
You know, it just kind of hit Friday, Saturday, Sunday more than anything. So because you guys were traveling and probably prepping to travel, you've kind of missed it. But do check it out. He's
going to grow up to be a hot kid.
Well, that's creepy. That's like legit creepy. He's in eighth grade. And then he posted another video on December 4th as sort of a response to it. In the video, he goes through and holds up a series of note cards that talks about how he's down to only one friend left. And how and he's like miserable and crying throughout it, and he reveals that he had cut himself and like shows it to camera on his arms and talks about how he doesn't know how he can survive another year. He's been bullied since the first day of first grade, and now he's going into eighth grade. It's incredibly touching, incredibly brave, and really sad. Like, I watched it twice. I cried both times. That's it. You just played it. Yeah. It has that soundtrack of Help, I Have Done It Again, or something like that. Anyway, it sounds like we're going to tweet it or something like that. Or
but
post
isn't it part of a campaign?
No, it's not. It's not a part of a campaign. And then he posted a response video that unfortunately has gotten the opposite kind of reaction, because it's like a 30-second long video, and he's sitting on the bed with a friend, like smacking gum in his mouth, being like, I have like tons of friends, and but like thanks for like the support, guys, and like everything's cool now. So it just kind of completely backfires because people had just found this beautiful, poignant video, and the, which is I sort of an interesting commentary on social media and how it can create such an aura around someone. I mean, look at what's going on with the attention that Julian Shaw guy from the PSA, from the It's Time video, which I know
The
guys
Australian
love.
One.
Yeah, which is like the single best PSA ever created, ever. I think he's straight, too, but he's like a young documentarian. I'm sure everyone's seen that by now. But
have you seen it,
Lee? Maybe we can
it's
post
the one.
It's time.
Australia. Or
it, it's the one where there's a guy and they're going through.
It's
the
called It's Time
of the relationship.
You guys have it on your website.
Just for the listeners who haven't seen it, it's from the point of view of one of the people involved in this relationship, and it's sort of the. Points in the relationship through their eyes, and you don't know who the person is behind the camera, and then at the end you find out it's a gay couple, and the great thing is it really could have been any couple anywhere in the world.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's Get Up Australia. Yeah, we featured that. Was that last week or 2 weeks ago?
I think his name is Julian Shaw.
It would have had been last week.
Yeah, it's great.
But I was reading the comments under the Jonah video today, and I believe that there is... Maybe not this one, but there's, and I need to look into it more, but there's some kind of campaign that certain schools are doing that's sort of like a check-in of how you really feel or how you feel you're perceived. It's something along those lines that we should look into, because it sounded interesting. It's sort of checking in to see how the students are really feeling and about their situations and about themselves as individuals within their school.
Yeah. Well, I think some people are really quick to hate on Jonah or to just sort of tear him down for thinking that what he did was insincere. But the video was made months ago, and I think it was a very honest reflection of how he was feeling at the time.
Yeah.
And when you see it, I mean, it's just, I don't know what the best word to describe it. It's just so acutely sad. And you're watching this person process some of these thoughts, and he's clearly had to write them down in note cards. Anyway, we don't need to spend any more time on it, but it's worth seeing.
I will definitely check it out.
Yeah, we got to find that.
Well, this goes back to why Trevor is able to get so many high caliber stars to come out and do this event. I mean, everybody, this touches everybody. And we were very impressed. Being from D.C., we're very impressed. And we don't get impressed by celebrities too much. We've got them all over the place there, but different types of celebrities. this was a little different for us.
It's the interesting ones.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of the fun that I want us to jump into now, if that's okay, is the whole fun of the experiences that we have and the differences between them, between DC being so politically centric and then Los Angeles being so celebrity and entertainment centric. Mm-hmm. Chad and I are both East Coast transplants. So we have had the East Coast experience, but we've been out here for enough years that things like you guys experience on your way to the studio tonight, mm-hmm. getting caught in the premiere traffic.
Yeah.
You know, it's the same thing that you guys mentioned, that this just like what happens.
The motorcade traffic.
The motorcade.
we're stopped by movie premieres and you're stopped by the president, you know, sort of similar.
Well, this is twice, two nights in a row, because what was it? Was it last night?
Last night,
last night was the New Year's Eve premiere
mm-hmm.
at the Chinese Theater, which is pretty. That was
Grauman's.
Amazing.
Yeah,
that was crazy.
Yeah.
That was
yeah. Because we had to work our way around that to get to dinner.
Yeah.
Well, that had so many celebrity cameos that I'm sure that was just like a shit show premiere of like of who's who today in People magazine.
Yeah. We actually interviewed somebody for our show today who's in the movie, so we're excited about having him on the show. But yeah, it sounded like an incredible experience working on that. Of course, it was all done in pieces, so most of them didn't all work together. But you saw Valentine's Day. The one that, the first one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chad sees any romantic comedy that exists.
I was actually not very impressed with Valentine's Day. My favorite part of Valentine's Day was an outtake with Julia Roberts at the end where she's quoting Pretty Woman.
That was a lot of fun. But you're right. For us, it's all politicians. And, you know, we go to the supermarket and there's, you know, Barney Frank or that type of thing. All the events we go to, you know, there's a politician there and it's really no big deal for us.
Yeah,
I mean, but I think I would get more excited about seeing some of the politicians than I get from, like, you know, being in the same supermarket as, I mean, Thanksgiving, we drove by Jack Nicholson on our way to my mom's house. I'm like, eh, okay.
Yeah. I think the closest politician that I've ever been close to is I was leaving work at like 5:30 on like a Thursday afternoon because you know where I was headed, you know, on a Thursday. And I walk out the office door.
Where were you headed Thursday, Dale?
Happy hour.
Yeah. And so I open the door and it's Donna Rumsfeld just walking by window shopping at the sports tennis store that was next door.
Did you catcall at him?
Like
I did not. The guy in front of me opened the door and he looked and I looked at him and he was like, yeah, that's him. And we walked away. He went inside the store to buy a new tennis racket, I guess. I don't know.
Cool. Well, but Scott, you said something that I found really interesting, which is, you know, you guys have these amazing historic and beautiful sites all throughout D.C., things mm-hmm. like the Washington Monument. And you guys just kind of cruise by like it's total second nature.
Sure.
And we don't really have historic landmarks in Los Angeles.
The tar pits.
Right? So I'm not so sure there's a direct equivalent to that other than things like, you know, the tourists that you see on all these buses and that go on like the star map tours. And,
well, you know, we have things downtown that you and I never go to that are considered historic buildings.
Like what?
They're downtown and we never go.
Like what?
There are architecturally historic buildings that are very much like Art Deco and like very old that are considered historic landmarks.
Okay.
I couldn't name them, but they're there.
Yeah.
They exist. You have some great stuff. I mean, literally, we've now driving here, that's something to talk about.
Yeah.
Because
it's
I don't
so
know
easy.
How you guys do it. It's not. but and then when you're looking at the Hollywood sign through the buildings, or you're saying, oh my God, there's the Hollywood Bowl, and you almost drive off right. into a ravine. Yeah, that's tough.
But. Yeah, you know, one thing about L.A. is absolutely for sure, and that the stereotype about it being awful to drive in Los Angeles is 100% true at all times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you'd have no choice to get around but by car. I mean,
I don't find it that bad, but according to Andrew, I drive like a grandma. Yeah.
You do. It's like you operate a golf cart.
But I like driving the golf cart.
Even when he reverses, he goes beep, 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 beep.
You know, I learned how to drive in a golf cart. I'm sort of not kidding. Growing up,
me.
Like my family went to this place in upstate New York that was very much like the Poconos and Dirty Dancing. And my first experience like driving was in the golf cart around like the grounds of this place.
Well, there's a big difference between being just a bad driver and being an overly cautious driver. You are not a bad driver. You're an overly cautious driver. Yes. However, you bring your overly cautious driverness into my passenger seat, and that drives me crazy.
Oh, yes. I constantly say, I'm going to die.
Yeah, he's like, oh, my God. Or like the full body reaction if I'm like riding someone too close from behind because I'm just not patient in anything in life.
I've done that to you.
You know, it's a residual effect from my mother, who is admittedly an awful driver.
She does admit that she's an awful driver. But yeah, it's a little distracting when you have someone like Chad in the car who at any given moment, if you're trying to like, you know, because you've clearly discovered now that in LA, yellow means accelerate.
Oh, yeah.
So whenever I do that, if Chad and I are in the vehicle together, like he'll like stamp his foot on the ground as if he's got the brake on his side. It's kind of awesome.
This sounds like it's us talking because this is exactly what happens with us. Because I'm usually driving
today.
And he's yelling at me or screaming. But I also do the mom thing, and he thinks this is funny.
The arm?
Yeah.
Me too. Okay, so you're the driver that goes fast, and Dale, you react
frantically. Well, yeah, and you talk about here where yellow means, you know, accelerate. You ran a red light yesterday.
I love
totally red.
On the left?
It turned red just as I was
Bullshit.
Going through.
That's okay. So, yeah. You're in L.A. When in Rome, you know, it's okay.
Listen, I've never hurt you, and I always get us where we're supposed to be going. So,
if it takes two, three times.
That's yeah. right.
Yes. I feel like there's a weird Alice in Wonderland mirror image going on here.
Can I tell you what kept me going in wrong directions the last couple of days is this 101 and 110.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Josh Duhamel.
Well, yes. That too. But I'm a little dyslexic, so I really can't tell the difference between 110 and 101. So he's telling me what to do, and I'm looking at the signs, and they split off. But I literally couldn't tell which one was which. So we ended up, of course, I picked the wrong one.
And you ended up in Pasadena.
Yeah. Maybe you should just drive from now on. Dale's driven once in the last 2 years. So
that's not true.
That's like telling a cautious driver that they're just going to drive from now on is like telling a bottom that they have to top. They don't know what to do. They freak out. No offense, Dale and Chad.
I never said I was a cautious driver. I just don't do it very often. I don't need to.
He didn't
to.
Say he was a bottom either.
Oh, I thought that's what he... I thought
what are all these damn assumptions already?
I thought that's what you were assuming, that he was a bottom, too. I love that. That's
I am.
Great. That's great.
I mean, I am. You're okay, anyway.
Well, it's true.
I'm first. Thank you.
Well done, Lucy. Lucy, how you doing over there?
I'm good.
You ever been to D.C., Lucy?
One time, but it was in the fifth grade, so.
How is that a never?
Well, you're like, never. Doesn't count. I mean,
more government importantly. Field trip?
Hold on, I'm not done. Was that like a government?
More important.
I fucking quit. Lee.
Yeah.
Was it like a government, like civics field trip?
Yeah, it was a school sponsored field trip.
Did you visit all the sites?
We did.
What was your favorite site?
Sites? Favorite site? Oh, wow. I'm not going to come up with a good one.
Lincoln Memorial?
Yeah. Everyone loves Lincoln Memorial. It was pretty great. What else? I guess that was the first time I'd ever been on a subway train. So being a kid from Arkansas, that was pretty...
A subway
pretty
train.
Ran.
Subway
was
train.
Was
that,
is that whatever? Screw you guys. I love the fucking Lincoln Memorial. Done.
More importantly, what's it like witnessing like plethora ness of gay banter?
It's fun. We got a good show going. I don't want to jinx it.
Does gay roommate ever have friends over?
I've only
well now that you have
rarely.
A space heater.
Yeah, I mean, we probably will now because it's not so cold in there. Gay roommate is rarely home. He's a busy guy. He's got a couple jobs and he's very social and
grinder.
Yeah, you know, he's a super duper whore. And he'll listen to this later. And, yeah, he knows. Yeah.
That's cute.
So what's dating like in D.C.?
What is that?
It's awful.
Well, I don't know, but you would have to ask Dale about that.
It's the place is too damn small. And then you date someone, and, you know, because it's all clicky. I mean, literally, you date someone, and then, you know, they introduce you to your 75 friends that they have, and it's like, you get rid of one. It's like, I don't want to date those, because they ain't going with that. It just doesn't work.
The problem is that we've actually had several friends who had to move out of D.C. because they slept with everyone
right.
already.
Yeah.
So, literally, it's that small.
It's small.
And, yeah, we've you know, slept with all of our friends, and now we're looking for new friends, because we've done that.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
that brings
phase
to reason
two of L.A.
Of
expanding your okay. So you mentioned happy hour. So there it sounds like there's at least one bar that does a big sort of like singles scene in DC.
You know, it's not so. It's not so much our single scene. It's just so much our group of friends gets together weekly.
Oh,
every
got
week
it.
On Thursday, we
oh,
just
okay.
get together.
We don't really have good pickup bars. We really don't. No. What happens in DC is we have cliques, and these cliques get. They go to the bars and they stay in their clique and they really don't talk to other people. And that's one of the biggest
complaints. We do the same thing.
We do the same thing. Yeah. But that's one of the biggest complaints about DC is that people say they come to our bars, which are well reviewed online. It's supposed to be great, you know, great video bar with this or that. And they can't talk to anybody because no one will talk to them because we're all talking to our friends. And we're guilty.
We
that's what we do.
In L.A., I feel like the crowds can sniff out the newbie like it's their job and they just attack the newbie because in L.A., everyone's looking for the next opportunity and the next big thing. And when you're new to L.A., they want to know you and make sure that they're introduced to you in case, you know, you become it.
Right.
Is that an accurate assessment, Andrew?
I don't think I've been to a gay bar in like 4 years.
Well, that's because you're a joy killer and a lesbian.
Yes, this is true.
Ooh, snaps.
Do I look offended? Listen, I just don't like gay bars. I just don't. I'll go to them for birthday parties. I'll go to them for charity events. If you want me to go spend time with you, let's go have a meal or like come up to my house or let's go on a hike or let's play something.
Or go to In-N-Out.
Or go to In-N-Out Burger. I'll say yes to that too. I just don't enjoy gay bars. I also don't drink. So that's one of the things. It's like it's not on my list. I just don't care. And whenever I do go, it's like dozens of just obnoxious people that I just don't want to talk to. Or if they are good people or it's a good group of friends, it gets to a point where they're just so fucking drunk that it just makes no sense to try to carry on a conversation. And I'd much rather have like a really cool group of like 5 to 10 people around a dinner table or still go out for drinks. That's fine. But like communicate with each other and catch up and like talk about life and things as opposed to like what normally happens in LA, which is a circle of 4 or 5 gay dudes who spend the entire time either talking about themselves and usually lying or talking about the people around them in the most negative, bitchy way possible. It's so disgusting.
And in LA, we're also binge drinkers. I mean, I feel
like... And there's
like,
touchers. Like, I get... It's...
I don't keep think... Keep your I don't, hands to I yourself. Don't, that is not an LA thing. That is a gay, universal thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now in LA, I don't know what time the bars close in DC, but we all close at two here. Two.
We're two and three.
But I feel
I do love Saddle Ranch. However,
that's not a gay bar.
That doesn't matter. It might as well be because there's hotter guys at Saddle Ranch than any gay bar in West Hollywood.
There are some pretty hot bartenders.
Yes,
they're all straight though. Well, not all of them. Most of them.
Go get them, Kelsey.
Well, Andrew, I don't know what we're going to do with you if you come to DC because we do just the opposite of what you like. But, you know, this is the first time we've actually done a show sober, too, which is really weird for us. But it's fun. It's fun. It's a new change for us.
Wait, what?
What?
Yeah, we usually do the Swish Edition after 3 or 4 drinks.
Yeah. We're usually drunk.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Have you listened to our show?
We have a bar in our studio.
So, like, swish isn't like swishing a cocktail? I thought it was like hand gesture swish.
Swish. No, you know, swish doesn't really mean anything. It's whatever you want it to mean. No, I'm exaggerating a little bit, but we usually do the show with drinks for sure.
7 or 8 cocktails.
Yeah. And we're big DC gay nightlife people. We have, you know, we don't pay for drinks and we get in for free and we love that. Yeah, because we promote them and they like that. So. That's cool.
I know who I'm hanging out with when I go to DC.
But if you guys come though, we'll definitely go to dinner and we can sit around and talk about life. That'd be cool too. We'll do a little both.
Do you guys know a guy named Wade?
Wade.
Tall, blonde hair.
No Wade.
Okay, we'll talk about it after.
Really? Okay. You just said Wade?
Yeah, well, I don't want to.
Do you know John? He's medium sized.
Well, hold on.
His normal hair.
Okay. A, Wade is an actually pretty unique name, he would stand out. He's like 6'3", 6'4", and blonde.
Well, you know, if you had articulated a little bit more.
I just said exactly the same thing.
But you're usually really good at this, Andrew.
You're so weird.
Keep holding your microphone like you're going to die.
Because this is a new place for me to sit. It's sort of awkward.
Everyone is watching.
The camera on my ear, and this is high. It's just weird.
Am I sitting in your seat?
No.
Okay.
But you know what it's time for?
Penetrating questions.
Penetrating questions.
Let's get keyed up here.
So Dale and Scott have prepared a series of questions as well, but we are going to go first because we're control freaks and because...
And Virgos.
Yes.
Hey, guys.
Are you both Virgos?
We are.
We are.
Wow. Our birthdays are 2 days apart.
Cool.
But we have different things about our Virgo-ness.
I'm also a Virgo.
Not really. We're actually the same person.
Are you?
Yeah.
Did I know that?
I don't know. I don't think we've talked about this.
Did we know that Lucy was a Virgo?
Lucy's a Virgo?
Wait, this is a big deal.
Wait, when's your birthday?
You're a Virgo?
September 16th. Yeah,
what?
He's on the cusp, though. Almost the cusp. Is it the cusp? It's almost the cusp.
Yeah,
it might
be
the cusp.
Moved. I don't know.
This is a big deal.
I'm sorry.
You just dropped that in there.
I'm sorry.
Holy shit.
I can't believe I brought that up in the middle of the
show. Alright, we'll come back. We'll come back.
We're going first.
Yes.
Like you said.
And I don't have the questions in front of me, so you have to go.
Dale, Scott, are you ready for
Are you asking one?
We haven't divided them, so you're both answering each of the questions.
Okay.
Yeah, bitches.
Ready.
Favorite ice cream flavor?
Mint chocolate chip.
Mine is Vanilla Bean.
Boring.
That's it. Ice cream, not
who?
Bad.
By the way, Andrew wrote these, so if they suck, it's his fault.
Such a fucking drama
queen. You guys are going to fight. It's going to be awesome. We're going to put it on the Facebook page.
Get to the next fucking question, Chad.
Who would play you in the story of your life?
Oh.
That's not a person.
God, Josh Duhamel, I hope. No, Rob Lowe.
Rob Lowe.
Good one.
That's good.
Does this person have to, like, resemble my look?
No. Ron Howard.
That's exactly what I was thinking of.
You can interpret it however you like.
Who would you like to play you Brent in the story Everett. Of your life?
Oh, no.
Kidding.
No.
Jesus. No. Barry Pepper.
And you know why? You know why I don't know? It's because I'm not a big celebrity fan. You know, I went to this Trevor thing. I knew no one who came by.
Ron,
you
are. Not only that, but like Dale does not like redheads, so he doesn't.
No.
Yeah.
They are disgusting. except for myself. I'm sorry.
All right, fine. Moving on.
Dale, it gets better.
Wow, boring question. Last book you read.
I don't think it's a boring question. I think it's actually really interesting.
They are from the East Coast. They might read.
I do not read books.
I read Scout's Honor by myself. I wish you had said that. That would have been a much better deal. I do have a book out. It's on Amazon.
No, tell us more.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thriller. It takes place in D.C. and Hong Kong, and it's pretty cool.
And it's called Scout's Honor.
Scout's Honor.
It's available on Amazon.
Amazon, or you can go to swishedition.com. There's a link right from there.
Get it for your Kindle.
That's right.
That's fantastic.
Kindle. You guys can get it right now and read it before you go to bed tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Dale, have you read it?
Congratulations. It's really cool.
I have not. You know, he gave me a
what?
Copy. He gave me a copy, and then my ex from like 2 years ago was going somewhere on the train.
You're
like,
too busy bottoming
this book
for gingers.
That's right.
I just never got it back. I think you signed it and everything.
I think the last book I read was a Stuart Woods mystery, I think.
And you really don't read
it.
We can
skip Dale.
Again.
Favorite Disney movie?
That's easy for me. It's Robin Hood.
Yes.
The animated?
Well done, Scott. Absolutely. Well done. Hear, hear.
I don't watch anything Disney.
Come on. You got to give us
one.
Oh,
my God, Dale, you're boring.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame. Just
Rugrats. I don't
know. Rugrats. What's your favorite Disney movie? Rugrats.
Which is actually Nickelodeon, nothing to do with Disney.
See, exactly.
See, this is why we need. This is why we don't do our show live.
Jesus.
All right. I'm gonna split these next questions up. Dale, describe yourself at age 10.
Seriously?
That's good.
For real.
That's good, but...
How about just three adjectives? Let's just get three adjectives. That's
good. Okay, let's see. I am hot.
At age 10?
Yes, at age 10. I had hair.
More hair.
More hair.
Where?
It's just on the top of my head.
One more, come on.
One more. I am funny.
That's funny. Were you funny at 10?
Of course. Okay. It was the life of the party.
All right, Scott.
Yeah.
Describe
yourself. He was the life of the sleepovers.
And my footies.
He-Man sleeping bag.
Did you have one?
I had an Alf sleeping bag.
You had a He-Man lunchbox, right?
I had everything was He-Man.
Yeah, nice.
Scott, describe yourself at age 70.
70?
Oh,
dead. I'm sure I'll be dead by then. I think I will be just as self-centered as I am now. I'll be self-made and horny, I hope.
Good. Best vacation ever.
This trip's going pretty
by
good.
Far this one. Totally this one.
Totes.
Mine is a cruise I took through Greece, Italy, and Turkey.
Nice.
Yeah, it was pretty wild.
Wait, Dale, why this one?
Well, for one, I don't get out much. And number two, this is my first time to LA. And I think I'm going to be spoiled from here on out. Because if I come back, I'm not going to have the same experience.
that I had this trip ever again.
Yeah.
I mean, with the things that I saw, I mean, I was on the press line, saw all those celebrities over there. I couldn't name either one of them just by looking at them. but I mean, I don't think it could get much better than that. I really don't. So this one, by far, is
it's going to get better.
Favorites.
We've got some really great stuff.
Better, better, better.
What else you guys have going on?
We did a really cool VIP tour of Universal yesterday.
Awesome.
So we got to see some really kick-ass stuff. We got to go all through the set of Parenthood and behind the scenes and a bunch of stuff. So
we were on Wisteria Lane.
Yeah. Well, everybody gets to do that. But we got to get out and like get in that the 747 that they crashed.
Oh,
we got
cool.
to walk all through it that most people don't get to do. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, we got to do some fun stuff.
And all the gay bars in Boys Town, yeah?
You know, it's funny. We haven't been to a gay bar yet. We're going to go to the Abbey, but it's funny. We do love our gay bars in D.C., but for just the two of us to go to it's not something that's really high on our list.
When do you leave?
We'd rather like sit in the hotel room and drink a drink and watch ourselves on the Tonight Show.
Got it.
But we're here through Friday afternoon.
Okay, so at some point, I mean, you have to go at night. You don't have to, but you can go during the day. It's worth going down to Boys Town just to kind of walk around.
Okay,
yeah, I mean, the Abbey's open all day. You can go there for breakfast.
Do
that.
Yeah, we'll do it. We have a lot of free
the Abbey's the well. Abbey. You got to go.
Okay,
yeah,
and it's all decorated for Christmas, and actually, it's really nice. Right.
Well,
now.
I have been to the Abbey. That's the only gay bar here that I've been to. But I'm going to take Dale.
Dale's a virgin.
We're going tomorrow.
Exactly.
Only in being in LA.
He is not a virgin.
Speaking of not being a virgin. Dale, this one's just for you. What is your porn star alter ego?
My porn star alter ego.
Well, we know the name.
Yeah.
Why? What's the name?
You know how you do the name of your first pet and then the street you grew up on? I think I have a really cool one.
Which is?
Would be Duke Concord.
Ooh.
That is good.
That's very good, right?
That's a good.
Yeah, but no, I mean, if the question was what I would be like as a porn star... I think I'd be a dirty boy.
A dirty boy?
Mm-hmm.
What really? What does that mean?
Like bareback films?
Not so much bareback, but I think I would do stuff that I normally
wouldn't. Wait. Wait. Can I ask you a personal question?
You may.
In this topic?
Sure.
Have you done or are you interested in adult entertainment?
I am not. No. By no means, I am not.
What, you mean beyond the Swish Edition? Because this is definitely adult entertainment. We also have a show that's coming out next year called Swish After Dark. Which is going to be...
We've been toying around with that idea for a while.
Yeah. Dirtier than we ever get, so...
I should definitely be a special guest on that show.
He's not kidding either.
We'll talk.
All right, boys. Now we have our traditional rapid fire questions.
I'm feeling left out. Can I ask these?
Wow. Okay, Andrew. I never get to ask the questions. By the way,
fine. Here, take it.
No,
take
I'm
it
done.
Back.
No, I'm done.
Lee, you're
I'm
asking.
Done. I'm done.
I'm not asking. I don't.
Lee, fine. Give me the fucking book. You guys are all babies. All right. So do you know the drill? I say two things and you have to say one. Or what exactly? The first thing that comes to mind.
Which one? Are we together?
You both have to answer.
He's going
to
say it. This or that.
Okay.
And you respond with which one you
got.
Is
we
you.
Pick one.
Got it.
Okay.
Easy.
Musky or cologne?
Musky.
Cologne.
Lightsaber or photon torpedoes?
Lightsaber.
Torpedoes.
Urban or rural?
Urban.
Black tie or birthday suit?
Birthday suit.
Super salad.
Soup.
Oh, I thought you said super salad.
Super salad.
No, I guess salad.
Super tossed salad.
No, that's even better.
Red or white?
White.
White.
Night or day?
Night.
Hands or feet?
Hands.
Right or left?
Right.
Right.
Thank you for some penetrating questions.
Yeah.
Wait, okay. We get asked now. Don't
yes.
We?
Oh, yeah.
We're turning the tables.
Andrew's
on
getting
Andrew
scared.
And Chad.
Andrew doesn't like to answer the penetrating questions.
Oh, well,
I make think him I'm first, right?
You're first.
Is that how we got this
and
lined
we're,
up?
We're tag teaming, but we're going to direct it towards.
Do you normally tag team?
That we're saving that for
that's Swish After Dark.
All right,
so am I going first?
Go.
Okay, this one is for Andrew.
Hi, Dale.
Hi.
That was cute, Andrew.
We talked about this before we actually sat in the studio. We Googled image you, which is what I do a lot. Here we
go. Oh, you motherfucker.
All kinds of tattoos. I'm a big fan. You have to get one tonight after the show. What is it and where will it go?
Oh, good question.
It is good.
Okay. So I have a few things in mind. I must admit I do think I want one on my chest. One of those sort of necklace type ones that goes sort of on the top of the pecs.
When you're in a gang.
It's not when you're in a gang.
Are you in a gang?
I'm not a
gay mom.
I also really like that kind of unfortunately a lot of people are doing it, and I don't like to do it just because I see it everywhere, but I do think it's really special if it's the right phrasing, that lettering, it has a special word that can be potentially read backwards and forwards.
An anagram.
An anagram is a word like mom that is spelled the same way backwards and forwards. This is different. This is it's a font is created for the lettering that makes it look like it can be read backwards and forwards. So you can't actually read it as English when you first see it.
Right. Like the Illuminati in Da Vinci Code.
That's exactly right, actually. Yes. I know this is also not very popular, but I think I'm thinking about something on my calf because there's a certain shape that I like, this teardrop shape with a little bit of a point at the top of it that kind of fits nicely. And I'm a big fan of kind of symmetry. Even though my tattoos aren't symmetrical, I like that it would fit in that space nicely. Though what would it be? I just can't answer because I have so many things in my mind right now.
Would be here for days.
You would be. I am actually thinking about getting a tattoo when I'm in Peru. I'm going to Peru in December at the end of the month, end of this month. We've done a little bit of research about tattooing in Peru. And it's not prevalent. And it's kind of tough because the altitude is so high, so we'd have to do it in Lima or Cusco, not actually do it in a village while on the trail. We're doing this whole 5-day hike.
But it would take a village.
Anyway, if that is the case, then I would want that tattoo artist to give me either a letter or a word in Quechuan, which is their local.
Yeah, very cool.
I like it. Now, is it true we only have 4 minutes left?
We can go over.
Okay, so we need to go a little faster, though. All right. Chad, what is the number one misconception about Los Angeles?
There are none.
No. Everything we hear about it is true.
Listen, okay, so when I graduated college, I didn't quite know what I wanted to do. I'd had some interns in the entertainment business, mainly at MTV and in casting, and I went to a theater conservatory for college, and I didn't really know what I wanted to do. I thought producing sounded sort of interesting. Someone gave me a sort of a how-to book on how to get into Hollywood, and like it was ridiculous, and it had all these definitions, and like if you get this job, you need to dress in all black, and you need to drive a BMW 3 Series, and when you say, you know, when you make a call for your boss, you say left word as opposed to leave a message. And in the Hollywood trade publications, when you leave a position, you ankle the position, and a president's not a president, it's a prexy. And I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my entire life. And just like the whole list of things. And then I get my first job at, you know, a relatively well-known studio at the time, and it's all true.
That's cool. Okay. I like it. All right.
So am I next?
Yeah.
Okay. Chad.
Yes, Dale.
You are on a deserted island. You can take 3 inanimate objects. What are they?
Andrew. I mean, I'm not saying that's one of my objects. Wait, is this an inanimate object?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It wouldn't work on a fucking deserted island. Right. He held up his iPhone.
Would like something have like a lifelong battery power?
We'll give you that.
Okay. So my iPod.
Just name 3 things.
iPod, laughter.
No.
And Diet Coke.
And I have to do for Megan and Andrew.
What? What'd you say?
They're not.
We're not animate.
We're people.
Oh,
yeah.
But you are. What's the third?
Ice cream.
How long does that last, though?
Yeah, Chubby Hubby ice cream from Ben and Jerry's.
And Diet Coke.
I don't not the sweaty balls. Have you had that?
No, but I'm sure you have, Dale.
I think he is the dirty boy. But if you are on a dessert aisle, you'll probably end up with sweaty balls. Andrew. Andrew, obviously we're going back to this again and again, but you've obviously modeled. Would you do porn?
The answer is no. You know, that's not.
But it's crossed his mind.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it has with everyone. You know, there was. I'll make this very quick because I know we are running out of time. But it's worth mentioning. I think everyone at some point has thought about the quick way to make a few bucks. And one of my second or third day in Los Angeles, I went to a gay bar, and I was walking out, and I was by myself, and I'll never forget it. It never happened to me since. But yeah, it's like day three. And this like town car pulls up and the window goes down and the dude in the front seat goes, the gentleman in the back seat would like to pay you to be his date for the rest of the evening. And I'm like, it's like 11:30. Like, what? Where does he want to go? To the movies? And then I'm like, it clicks in my head. I'm like, that homeboy totally just thought I was a fucking prostitute.
Wow.
And wait, you're not?
So I said, no thanks, like as politely as I could, being like 4 days from like Connecticut in Los Angeles. And I walked away and I'm like, I just totally got propositioned for sex for money. And it's sort of repeated in my head a few times. So no, I never have. And no, I'm not necessarily equating prostitution just to porn. But I do think there's something similar to it. So no.
I like it. Are you from Connecticut?
I am a Connecticut boy.
So am I.
Whereabouts?
Norwalk.
Oh, so no.
I am born and raised in Fairfield.
Cool.
I'm from Westchester, New York.
I grew up in Williamsburg, Virginia, though, so it doesn't really count. Okay, we've got rapid fires for you.
Rapid fire.
You all right. Ready?
Am I first?
Yeah, Dale's doing Chad.
Yay.
Too bad you guys
not literally.
Too bad you guys can't see.
He hasn't done porn either.
All right, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Blonde or brunette?
Blonde.
Morning or night?
Morning.
Wet or dry?
Wet.
Scooby or Snoopy?
Good. Ooh, Scooby.
Lunch or brunch?
Lunch.
Spit or swallow?
Spit.
Andrew, you ready?
I don't think I am. That was amazing. That cannot be outdone.
Ready?
Yes.
We can outdo it. Cook or order in?
Cook.
First class or coach?
Coach.
What?
Yeah. Bitch.
Harrier.
With all the extra money, I go by All Saints. Anyway.
Hairy or smooth?
Smooth.
Button fly or zipper?
Button.
Pajamas or naked?
Naked.
Midtown spa or
naked.
Slammer?
Oh. Neither.
Gotcha. That's what we got.
Yeah, I've never. Well, if you are there like spa things like that in DC?
We have a couple. They're bathhouses. Yes.
With big air quotes.
Oh, they're gyms.
Right. Oh. Well, what's fun is we don't go there, of course. But what's really cool is to, with Foursquare, is to check in there when you're at the restaurant next door. Just to freak out your friend. Or your boyfriend. Yeah.
I feel like Foursquare is such a bigger East Coast thing. Like,
oh, you guys not do it here?
Never really caught on.
Oh, wow.
It did for like a second.
Really?
Now little, no one cares.
And then once Facebook came out with their check-in, it sort of...
Everyone abandoned it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's now Facebook locations. Hmm. That and Instagram, because Instagram you can say where you
I'm
are.
I'm just doing Instagram now. I like it.
Yeah,
it's fun.
It's addictive.
What is this Instagram?
We'll talk about it after. We're over our show.
Oh.
I feel like some loons might be coming.
Thank you, East Coast friends.
Thank
we appreciate you.
You
guys.
Thanks for hosting
Thank
us.
You.
This is wonderful.
We'll do it again soon.
This mashup of Black Sheep and Swish Edition.
Ow!
Good night, flock.
Bye, Swishies.
This has been a production of Black Sheep. To comment on today's broadcast, send us an email at blacksheepgvb@gmail.com. If you'd like to listen to this program again, or any previous program, and to learn more about Black Sheep and its hosts, please visit gvbradio.com. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Black Sheep GVB. Join the flock and listen to Black Sheep every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern, right here on Global Voice Broadcasting.
All right, so that was the Black Sheep mashup with the Swish Edition.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. We just want to send a big old thank you to those guys for letting us kind of hang out with them for an hour.
Yeah, it was Andrew and Chad, and then they have a producer board op. His name is Lee. They called him Lucy on the show.
But one of the fun things is that they record the show at the KTLA lot, which, you know, when we walked in, we immediately, the first office we saw was Judge Joe Brown's office, which was really, really cool. And who else? Like Judge Judy, you said, was there.
Yeah, Let's Make a Deal's film.
Let's
there.
Make a Deal was there. And we found out that before it was KTLA, it was the old Warner Brothers.
It was the original Warner Brothers lot. Yeah. So a lot of famous movies were made there. It's one of the original lots out here.
Yeah. And then we were outside on the balcony before we left, and we were told that the guys that were sitting in the office next to us were actually writers for a Nickelodeon or Disney show.
Disney show.
And they were there, I guess, writing a script. Because I could see it on the screen.
Let's tell you, this entire town is all about the entertainment industry, and everybody knows everybody in there. Everywhere. They're just everywhere.
Yeah. It's all about connection. Well, it's no different than being at home, but...
Yeah. Yeah, in our town, though, it's all politics.
Right, exactly.
I think I like this one better.
This was more fun.
I would totally move here. I don't know what's wrong with you, but I would totally move here. I think it's so cool.
It's cold this week.
It is cold this week, but that's apparently not normal. Yeah. Anyway, thanks also to Tony, who runs Global Voice Broadcasting, for hosting us. That was really nice.
Cool name. Yeah. Tony's sweet. Like it.
He is sweet. Anyway, thanks, guys. We really appreciate that. We hope you guys enjoyed the show. Hope you'll listen to Black Sheep, but not as much as you listen to Swish Edition, but, you know, go ahead. Like them. They'd probably enjoy that. And for any new listeners to our show who came to us from Black Sheep, we really appreciate it and hope you enjoy our show. We're a little dirtier.
I know. We're more fun.
All right, let's go to our conversation with Rob Nagel. Now, this is pretty personal for me because Rob and I went to high school together and we were in some shows, and you'll hear about that in the conversation. But it's really interesting to get a perspective of what it's like to live and work here in LA as a working actor. He's worked with everybody, he's been in everything, and he's in the brand new movie New Year's Eve again, coming out this Friday, tomorrow. So very exciting for that. And it was fun to talk to him.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And actually, I have a couple of pictures that I think came out pretty good that we can probably post so that way you can see them. And I'm not aware of it, but you told me that he's been in tons of things, and everybody's probably at least seen him. They just don't know that they've seen him.
Right.
So you need to show me a few things. You said he was like in the Southwest commercial. He's been in
a bunch of commercials. He was on Buffy. He was on Dawson's Creek. He's been on he was on Eli Stone first season. Damn, he does everything, really. He was on Young and the Restless.
Well, maybe we should post a picture and find something on YouTube that we can post.
Yeah, definitely. I'll put that on SwishEdition.com for today, for sure. All right, so listen to our conversation with Rob.
Dale and Scott round them up, then hit them with softballs. It's not like this is 60 Minutes or anything, but you'll dig it. It's the big interview.
So Dale and I are here in West Hollywood, and we're excited to be sitting here with Rob Nagel. This is a little personal for me because it goes back, way back, to Williamsburg, Virginia, where Rob and I went to high school together. How are you?
I'm good. How have you been for the last so many years?
I've been great. You know, we've been keeping up. We haven't seen each other since we left school, but we keep up on Facebook, so I've been following your career. And you got all kinds of fun stuff going on. But Rob and I actually performed together in two musicals, Anything Goes and Oliver.
That is correct. Anything Goes and Oliver, some of my formative experiences in the theater, and I remember them well. I remember you in a sailor uniform.
I was sailor number one.
And I was dressed as a priest for a good part of the show. I remember that as well. So it was a strange Halloween-ish experience. But yes, I remember it very well.
With Mr. Snyder.
Yes, who I have seen since then. When I was doing a show a number of years ago, 6 years ago maybe, in Baltimore, I drove down to Williamsburg and found Mr. Snyder in the new school that had been built and visited with him, and they were doing, as I recall, a production of Oliver that I sat in on the dress rehearsal for or something, and it was a wonderful and horrifying experience. Wow. To watch that again and think, wait, I did that? Wow. I survived that.
I have some very good memories. We had a lot of fun doing those shows. And of course, the rehearsals went on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And we just had so much. There was so much crazy behind the scenes. But do you know, to this day, when I hear the main song from Anything Goes, I can still do the choreography for it.
Okay, now, I can't, but I want to see that right now. If there's a way of doing that, will you please show that to me?
When we're done here, I will show you what I can remember.
I will cue up the music, and that is amazing. I can't believe you can still do that. That's so impressive. I wish I could.
And you remember Vanessa Lane? Who? Yeah.
Of course, absolutely. I saw Vanessa when I was on tour several years ago in North Carolina, and we met, and I met her and her lovely husband Dale, and we sat and had drinks and reminisced, and it was just fantastic to see her. It was almost as if no time had passed. Sort of like looking at you, because you look exactly the same as when I remember you, and I know I do not. I'm a little thinner on top and a little thicker in the middle, and yeah, you guys are not aging. And
Now I know why I did this interview.
Thank you. You've got a portrait in your closet somewhere.
Dale, pull out the video camera. Let's get this on tape.
And it's time for you to dance.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll dance after I ask you a couple of questions. Okay. But you know, Rob came out. When did you get here to California?
About 15 years ago, my wife Heather and I moved from New York. We met at Northwestern when the earth was cooling. And so we came out about 15 years ago just to try it out for a little while. And 15 years later, here we are still.
You've been doing some really exciting stuff. And really, you have your hand in almost everything out here. You're doing a lot of stage work, which we'll talk about in a minute. You've been in several films, TV shows, commercials. We see you constantly in some great commercials popping up. We're like, oh my God, I know him, which is always so much fun. But the number one thing you're working on right now, and you know, this interview is going to be out on Thursday. Tomorrow is the opening of New Year's Eve, the new movie with everyone and their mother in it. Tell us about that experience.
That was an amazing process to be a part of. I'd worked with the director of the film, Gary Marshall, about probably 6 years ago at a theater in Burbank, or actually Toluca Lake. It's all in Los Angeles, that he is the owner of, I guess. He built it, and he decided he wanted to bring theater to Los Angeles in the way that he could. And so I worked on a show called Where's Papa with him a number of years ago, and I thought, okay, that's my brush with Gary Marshall. I'll never have another chance to work with him again. And then in January of this year, I was contacted asking how my back was, as in could I lift someone, and if I'd be willing to go to New York on a movie. And the answer was, my back is great, who do I have to lift, and I'll go whenever. So we went out and did some days. I think it worked about a week and a half or somewhere in there, in February or March, and then we did some reshoots again in September. And so I had a chance to be in this film and doing some scenes with Hilary Swank and Ludacris and Hector Elizondo and Matthew Broderick and John Bon Jovi. So it turned into one of these, wow, the theater can get you a job in a movie? That's unheard of. But Gary Marshall is, you know, an icon, and he's such a remarkable and beloved man and so funny. I learned comedy from that guy. I learned comedy from Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley and Mork and Mindy. So to work with him was a real treat.
That's very cool. And you play a cop, is that right?
Yes, I'm a New York cop. I may not be the best of all New York cops. I'm actually pretty fantastic, but one of the advisors on the set looked at me and saw this hat that I decided to wear in a certain way with ear laps over the ears, and he said, you know, no one in the department wears the hat like that. And I said, yes, does it make you laugh? And he started laughing, and we knew, okay, I'm going to be a fine New York cop. They may make fun of me, but I'm going to be fine.
I like that a lot. Well, the premiere was a couple nights ago, and Dale and I happened to just run into it because we're staying nearby. Did you make it to that?
I wish I had, but I was working. I'd committed to doing a new play down at South Coast Repertory, which is a great regional theater about an hour away from us here in Los Angeles, and we were working on a new play. I wasn't holding on to the chance that I'd be invited to the premiere, but I was, and I'd already committed to another job, so I sadly missed all the red carpet that you guys got to experience a little bit of.
Cool. Well, let's talk about the stage, because that is your first love. You're doing a lot of it, both behind the scenes and in front. You're just wrapping up now, Peace in Our Time. Is that right? No Coward?
a Noel Coward play called Peace in Our Time, which is very rarely done. It's sort of a, unlike Noel Coward that we're accustomed to with, you know, cigarettes and bickering and husbands and wives and lots of light, funny fare. This is actually sort of his anti-war play. Coward had spent time in France during the occupation and then got to England and started to wonder what it would have been like if the Germans had taken over, if Britain had lost the Battle of Britain. And from that jumping off point, he wrote this very interesting play set in a pub with lots and lots of characters and an occupied Britain. And I get to play one of the Germans in that. So I'm not so beloved in that show, but it's quite a beautiful play. And we're doing it at a company that I've been a member of for about the last 3 years, the NTS Theater Company, which is sort of one of LA's classical theater companies out here. And that's been great, great fun. We have about 2 more weeks. The run's been sold out for the last several weeks, which is also unheard of in the theater. So we're very excited with the success of it and looking forward to next season.
Very cool. And what's this new play that you're working on?
The new one that I'm working on is called Point Last Scene. That's the current title, written by Scott Organ. And it's a four-person play, two different couples, play about loyalty and fidelity in relationships and infidelity in relationships. It was just a three-day weekend job. We rehearsed for 3 days and did the reading last night down at South Coast. It's part of their New Scripts playwriting development series, which is a lot of the ways that their shows get launched into the season and sometimes go to New York and sometimes win Tonys. So I'm kind of on the ground floor until they kick me out.
Very fun. Now, you've also done lots of guest stars on a million different shows. Are you able to do both the plays and those types of jobs at the same time?
It depends on the contract. Some of the contracts for theater in town have you rather locked in, and some of the contracts have ways of getting you out for greater remunerative compensation. So if the job comes along and I'm already tied up with, say, South Coast Repertory, their Mark Taper Forum, I'm not going to be doing the TV or the film job, but at certain other theaters in town, we have a code that we can work under as actors that allow us to jump out and go do that guest star that you've been dying to do.
That's very cool. And some of the recent stuff, you did a stint on Harry's Law, I believe?
I did. I did some work on an episode of Harry's Law and last year on Mad Men, both shows I'd love to go back to. I don't think I was killed in either of them, so I think there's a chance. And there's always a... There are always the recurring guest stars that come along. Did that on Eli Stone a few years back, and Lincoln Heights, and long, long ago Dawson's Creek. So, yeah, I do theater, I do film, I do television, I do commercials, mostly because I'm an actor whore and will work for whatever's interesting, which is what I wanted to do when we first met, and you knew I was thinking about this as a career. I just wanted to never have the same boss for too long.
That's why I like working for myself too. Some recent things that you guys definitely saw, Rob, in the Southwest commercial. We were running through the airport. We loved that. That must have been a lot of fun.
That was actually a lot of fun to shoot. Yes, I am pursued by a giant ball of red tape, and I got text messages and emails and voicemails from friends all over the country who'd give a response. I'm sitting in a bar. I can't hear it, but you're on TV. And that was just fun to hear that folks saw saw that work. Yeah, it was a good 2-day shoot, and I got to do a little Indiana Jones and a little Cary Grant all at once.
That's fun. Now, do you still, you just mentioned people contacting you when they see you. Does that still tickle you? Do you still get a little rise out of that?
That's got to be fun.
I do. It's great fun. It's great to know that even when I don't know something is airing. And so, yeah, it does tickle me a lot. It also is fun to think about how glamorous it appears to be when, you know, at the core of it, it's a challenging profession to, I'm sure it was challenging for my parents to see me go into it because it's so uncertain in so many ways, but it always tickles me to get some kind of recognition from friends and loved ones who I haven't heard from in a while. Absolutely.
Well, I definitely got a kick out of seeing you in two of my favorite shows, Dawson's Creek, which you mentioned. You played a psychiatrist on that one, didn't you?
Is that right?
Yes, I was Jen's therapist in season four, maybe? Something like that.
And then you were in Buffy once, which is one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, Buffy. You see, the Buffy fans are the best. They're great because they get even more excited. I was excited enough to get that job, but when I hear from friends or Buffy fans who said, oh, I know you from Buffy. Yeah, I know what you mean. And now I get to, at our theater company in North Hollywood, two of the members are Armin Shimerman and Harry Groener, who for Buffy fans are sort of like meeting, you know, two of the apostles. I had a very brief role that had some flashback recurrence, but these are, you know, the principal and the mayor. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool. And I own you because I have the whole series. I've got you in my house. I love that. I love that. Now, you're also doing some behind-the-scenes work helping others. You're doing some coaching and teaching. Is that right?
Yeah, I actually have kind of found my way into that in the last couple of years. I remember when I was at, I went to Northwestern University for my undergrad, and I remember talking to my father on the phone, who was in the School of Education at William & Mary back in Williamsburg. I remember saying, I'm thinking about going to grad school. And he said, hey, what are you doing that for? And I said, well, I thought maybe I'd want to teach one day. And he said, oh, don't do that, kiddo. And I couldn't believe he was saying this. It was like a sea change. I said, why not? And he said, because you want to be an actor. You need to try that first. You need to see how that's going to work out. It was the most startling advice I would have expected from my dad, the teacher. But it was the best advice because it gave me another, let's say, 20 years to, even though it's not that long, to kind of think about when I'd be ready to teach. And so when I actually did, I was really ready to do it. Because I'd been out in the world having the experience doing it. I teach at two different schools, a school in Hollywood called Theater of Arts, and also through Antius, our theater company, there's an academy there. And going down to Cal State Long Beach to do some kind of master class for a friend there tomorrow. So I'm finding my way into, teaching and coaching, because I realize, I've got skills in doing that, and I'd want somebody like my voice telling me what to do. Yeah.
I like that a lot. Now tell us, you've got the new play coming up, but also what's Fish Naked?
Fishing Naked, that's okay. Well, either way, what is Fishing Naked? Fishing Naked is a independent film that is being shot, actually is being edited right now out in Colorado. It's a movie that I found my way into in September. So I was out in September for about 7 days of shooting. It's a low-budget independent feature, which means that, you know, everyone's sacrificing something to be a part of it, particularly the filmmakers, and kind of set on a lot of rivers and in the wild outside of Boulder, Colorado. So I am not one of the naked fishers, let's put it that way. So you can rest easy. I play a certified public accountant turned wildlife photographer, let's put it that way. But there are some beautiful young people who are hanging out in the woods and falling in love and occasionally trying to find some peace in the stream by going commando.
I like that. Well, we actually, when we're back in our studio in D.C., we do a lot of naked broadcasting. So, yeah, we're all for the naked.
It's a liberating experience, don't you find?
It really is. It really is. Well, cool. Thank you so much for talking to us. We think this is really cool. But before we go, you know, here we are, and you've got 27 million visitors come here to the Los Angeles area every year. And we've got listeners all over the country for our show and 100 countries around the world. So they're bound to be coming to L.A. Tell us some of your favorite haunts and where should people hang out? Just a couple.
That's a great question because there are so many places. I'm very much a fan of the early Hollywood. So anything that reminds me of that is anything that's the Art Deco world is great. Griffith Park Observatory, we were just talking about before, is a fantastic Art Deco observatory that's been around for a long time. It was saved in the fires some years back because they were threatening it. There's another hotel, used to be known as the Argyle Hotel. Now it's called the Sunset Towers. Fantastic old school. If you like the beach, and I'm Irish, so I get pink if I go to the beach. I don't get out there as much as I might. There's some great. There we go. Do I hear an amen? There are a lot of really lovely spots along the beach where you can go to just for the views. And there's the Viceroy Hotel and Shutters for a cocktail if you want to go there. Where else? Downtown. There's some wonderful spots to hit. In fact, I was told there's one I want to go to. I think it's called Varnish. It's in an old speakeasy, and you enter it as if you're entering an old speakeasy. It's in the back of a sandwich shop called the French Dip. One of the two places in L.A. that say they originated the French Dip. And this one's called Cole's. And in the back of Cole's, there's a door into a speakeasy, and apparently you go in there and you tell them what you like to drink, what kind of liquor, and what kind of flavor, and they bring you something made special. And I just think that sounds like a great old speakeasy early Hollywood way to spend your evening.
Well, very cool. Some tips for us. Well, Rob, you we're really looking forward to seeing you in everything you've got coming up, especially this weekend in New Year's Eve. You guys can look for Rob in that movie. And you can find out all about him at robnagle.com. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes, it is a website dedicated to me. Who knew?
Yeah. Hey, we all have them. We have one for the show. And speaking of the show, we'll put your links on our website so people can find you.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thanks for spending some time with us.
Really a pleasure. Glad to talk to both of you. And you as well, Dale.
Great.
and now we're going to dance.
In olden days, a glimpse of stocking was looked on as something shocking. Now, heaven knows, anything goes. Oh, my inner Ethel Merman is coming out.
And with that, we'll turn this off.
Today's show is brought to you in part by the world's leading gay travel company, Atlantis Events. On January 29th, 2012, more than 5,000 gay men will converge on the largest cruise ship in the world to create a city at sea for a week in the Caribbean, embarking from Fort Lauderdale on board Royal Caribbean's Allure of the Seas. This will be Atlantis's most extravagant cruise to date. Atlantis creates a unique vacation experience for its gay and lesbian guests by chartering entire cruise ships. Then, it completely customizes their experience. Superstar entertainers, all-star DJs, world-class food and accommodations, and brand new productions and parties are all on tap for 2012, like only Atlantis Events can do. Dozens of parties, a score of shows, 13 restaurants and cafes, 4 pools, the world's largest open-air deck, an ice skating rink, rock wall, Flow Rider surf simulators, and much more. Atlantis, 7-night Allure of the Seas Caribbean cruise starts January 29th.
And the entire Swish Edition crew will be there too as an official part of the cruise. Dale, Scott, and Steve will be taping segments all week. Find out how to book and get more information about the January 29th cruise at AtlantisEvents.com, SwishEdition.com, or call your travel agent. You know, talk about travel. We do a lot. We've been doing a lot this year.
It seems like I haven't been home for nearly long enough, and I'm off again.
I know, that's right. So Dale and I will be back in D.C. this weekend, but we'll be packing really soon. You just heard that commercial. We're going on the Atlantis cruise January 29th from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, to we're going to Mexico and
Haiti. 7 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
It'll probably be 6 by the time when we get back.
That's right. Yeah, we're not doing our countdowns this week, but we'll catch up next week. I can tell you all guys all about it. There's still some cabins available. We'd love for you guys to go with us. We're going to be doing the show all week from the cruise. Should be crazy wild.
It's going to be interesting.
It'll be definitely a lot warmer than it is here in LA and DC.
I kind of think that our show being audio is not going to do Atlantis justice, and we may have to do some video.
We're definitely going to have to do some video. I think we should do some video here. We still have 2 more days here, Dale. We should maybe go up to the Hollywood sign and videotape ourselves in front of it or something.
We're allowed up there. We can go.
Yeah,
we're going to take time later today or tomorrow and go by Britney Spears' house.
Yeah, we're going to drive through Beverly Hills and try to find some
stuff. You got to tell them what we bought. Where is it at? We bought the map of the stars.
The star map.
That is hilarious. There's
totally wasted $5. It's so sad. All right, well, we missed having Steve on the show this week, and we're sorry that he couldn't come to LA with us, but he'll be on the next trip with us for damn sure.
I'm sure he's not been a good boy, so I'm sure he has some stories to tell us.
Sure. And what's funny is last week we talked about that Nasty Pigs jeans commercial that you liked the model so much, remember? We got some feedback from that, but guess what, we heard from the CEO of the company.
Wow.
So he was excited that we mentioned the product, and he's sending Steve that pair of out of order underwear that he said he couldn't get.
I love it. Yes, didn't you say it was wrong size or something?
I fixed that, yeah. So they're sending him the right size jock strap now. So Steve will be all set for his cruise wearing his Nasty Pig jock strap.
When he gets it, he needs to take a picture of it for the show.
No, he needs to model it for us. Yeah. This new hot body. He's been doing his homework. I haven't been doing my homework. I need to get back to the... When I get back to the gym, I'm going to be in so much trouble.
Double time.
Big time trouble. Well, anyway, guys, from beautiful Hollywood, California, we're going to sign off, and we'll see you back in freezing cold D.C. next week.
That's right. We're not looking forward to it.
Not looking forward to that 6-hour flight either.
That's the worst part, getting there.
I think I'm in a middle seat. It really sucks.
So,
Yeah.
Next week, we'll be back.
All right, we'll see you guys. Bye.
Bye.